Good morning. It is Sunday, September the 29th, and this is Ask the Mayor. I'm Chris Duffy, joined as always by Mayor Patrick Taylor. And Mayor Taylor, another week has gone by, and there's been another incident with a truck on the Gorge Road, this time colliding with a vehicle. Very dangerous situation. I understand we now have a timeline for at least part of the proposed solution to this problem.
That's right, Chris. And I was caught up in this problem on the Gorge Road this past week. It's kind of ironic. I was on my way to the Southwestern Commission meeting of the Transportation Advisory Committee. All the highway officials were there, so I walked in and announced that I was late because yet another tractor-trailer rig had jammed traffic on the Gorge Road, which is the case, and I believe there was a car that got clipped with the tractor-trailer unit. But we are going to address that. The DOT people have indicated that the contractor for installing the radar warning lights to truckers will be on site around the first week in November, and we should have those warning lights installed later on in the fall. So that's a positive note. I'm going to be working with our legislative delegation, including Representative Corbin, to get special local legislation to allow cameras to be posted on both ends of the Gorge Road. So in the event that a trucker disregards the warning lights, they will be photographed, and that will be used as evidence in cases that the state patrol will initiate against those violations. So that's the plan, and it'll take a little bit of time, but we are making progress.
I understand there's also progress on another front, and this is still on the roads, and that would be a local paving project. Three road paving projects are on the docket, and what's the status there?
Those contracts are let. They're underway, and as I've said previously, they should be paving any day now, and there will be a time frame. I think there's like 30 days once they start to complete the projects. So that's underway. Hickory Hill will be paved, Oak Lane will be paved, and then half of Colasage Drive will be paved this year, and the plan calls for completing the paving of Colasage the remainder in the next budget year. So the paving of the local roads will get started very soon.
Mr. Mayor, it's been on the news, and it is certainly a issue of concern as people cast their memories back to 2016. We are in kind of a drought situation here in the mountains of Western North Carolina. Certainly very low rainfall for the month of September. What does that mean for the town of Highlands?
Well, it's ironic, Chris, because we've had about 120 inches of rain in the past year. So you would think that we were in great shape. But when you stop having rain for an extended period of time, it can dry out very fast. And the state forest people and the county officials, our local officials, are very concerned that we're entering a drought that was similar to the one we had in 2016, where we had wildfires and forest fires. So my only advice is, as we enter the fall, if we don't get more rain, people should be very cautious about outdoor burning. And like in the past, make sure that you have a lot of your debris, leaves, and brush cleared away from your home in the case we did have a disastrous fire like we saw back in the last drought over in Gatlinburg.
If this situation persists, is the town fire department able to and likely to put in a fire ban in the Highlands Fire District?
Chris, that is possible. In the last drought event, it got to a point where our fire department coordinated with the state officials and so forth. And the way that works, they would come to me for an emergency declaration that would prohibit any kind of outdoor burning. So that certainly is on the table. We haven't reached that level at this time. But of course, our fire officials at the state level, the local level, are monitoring the situation. And if we don't receive significant rain in the coming week or so, then we might have to consider such measures because, you know, just one little shower, while that's helpful, we need significant rain now to kind of break this cycle that we're in.
Mr. Mayor, you had your community coffee this past Friday, and you had a special guest who we heralded on past episodes, I did throughout the week. How did that go?
It went great, Chris, and we have with us today Representative Kevin Corbin, who represents the Highlands Plateau area in Macon County, in the surrounding area. And Kevin joined us for our community coffee. And, you know, in my introduction, I emphasize that we all have to work together, and it's very important that we team together on understanding what's going on in Raleigh and in the legislature. And one of the things that's so great about Kevin, if I see a problem that relates to what we're doing here in Highlands, I can always pick up the telephone, and Kevin will call me back, and we can work as again together as a team in addressing some of the critical problems that we have. For example, we've been talking about the issue of the Gorge Road and the radar signs and other initiatives like that. And Kevin is always supportive of those things because he wants to see this community thrive in advance. So I'm just delighted that Kevin's with us today and he can give us an update about what's happening in Raleigh.
Well, thank you, Representative Corbin, for joining us this morning. I know you have a very busy schedule, put a lot of miles on the road back and forth to Raleigh, don't you?
Absolutely. It's a long way from Macon County to Raleigh. It's 313 miles from my house to the Capitol steps. So 626 round trip. And just FYI, I've done it every week since I've been there, which has been 3 years now, second term. I've done it every week except two.
Wow.
In 3 years.
If you could only get frequent flyer miles by driving, right?
Exactly. Well, and people ask, why do you not stay down there? Because I do not live in Wake County. I live in Western North Carolina, so it's not too bad.
We're very glad you could join us this morning. A number of things we talked about on the show in past weeks and past months that involve you that are dear to your heart and your legislative agenda in Raleigh. And one of those is the NC Fiber Bill. Of course, we've got our broadband project underway here in Highlands. How is that going to affect both folks here in Highlands and throughout the county and the rest of your district?
Great question. So Representative Josh Dobson, who is a representative from McDowell County, is a mountain rural legislator as myself, and we joined with two guys from down the eastern part of the state, David Lewis from Harnett County and John Soka from Cumberland County, and we, the four of us, authored the Fiber Act, North Carolina Fiber Act, or Fiber NC. Basically, what it does in a nutshell, there's a lot of language in it, but it kind of deregulates the fiber business a little bit. But essentially, what it would do that would affect us the most, it would allow cities and counties to run the fiber and then allow companies to hook on and lease and or possibly purchase that from the counties after they got it out there. So if you kind of look at the first mile, we kind of got that. We have the internet here, and we need that second mile to get it out so we can hook up, which is considered the last mile. So it's just a way that cities and counties can get involved in helping bridge that gap that's currently not affordable to the providers.
And I guess that's the key thing, and that's why, you know, you might hear some of these large telecom companies arguing against bills like this, because
Correct.
They want to be kind of have the monopoly on that.
Correct.
But they also don't want to put those services out in rural, remote areas.
Oh, you're very perceptive, or you've read quotes from me, because that's exactly who the pushback from is the big telecoms, and I'll call them out, AT&T, Spectrum, those guys, the big boys. And our bill went to state and local government a few weeks ago. It passed, and is now in finance, but they showed up in number. Every one of those and their lobbyists showed up, argued against our bill, that it was government getting involved in private business and all this kind of thing. And of course, my response to that was, you know, the government builds the roads that we all drive on, the government builds the airports that we fly out of, the government helps in all kinds of ways that we can't, things we can't do for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's the place of government. So in the end, I asked all of them that were there in the committee, I said, all you guys that testified against the bill, how many of you have customers in Macon, Clay, Graham, and Cherokee, Jackson, and Swain County? Please stand. Quiet. And that proved the point. They're not here. They're not going to be here. I don't say they don't want to be here. It's just not profitable for them to run in areas like we live, where it's, you know, a mile between customers, mm-hmm. or 2 miles or longer. Or you have, and we understand this living here, but one of the issues that we have such a large amount of publicly owned land, state and federally owned land. Mm-hmm. So you have pockets of population, Highlands, Franklin, Silva, but between those areas, there's nothing. There's nothing there. And it's beautiful, and it's why we like to live here, but it's very expensive to run that fiber through those large tracts of land.
Mm-hmm. Well, we thank you for fighting the good fight for us on that front. On another front, a bill that we have not talked about on this show, but one that I'm quite interested in, our neighbors to the south in Georgia have passed a law that banned the use of electronic devices, yes. handheld devices, yep. and cars, and that is something you are pursuing in the State House as well.
Yes, it is. I was approached by the Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina. That was the genesis of this bill probably 2 years ago. They came to me and expressed an interest in my running the legislation. Honestly, I initially was kind of opposed to it because I'm thinking, you know, that's my cell phone and my car, and who's the government to tell me what to do with that? But as I've gotten into this, done the research, I've completely changed my mind. It's very similar to the drunk driving laws that were passed at the beginning of the early 1900s. It wasn't a problem before that because there weren't cars, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So sure. when you have alcohol, this legally purchased alcohol, and you have a legally purchased vehicle, all of a sudden somebody realized, wait a minute, if you mix that rum and that driver together, it's a bad situation. It's mm-hmm. dangerous. And the same thing about it, even 5 or 6 years ago, certainly 10 years ago, in the insurance industry, we call it a peril. This peril did not exist because we had cell phones going back to the early 90s, mid-90s, I guess, in this area. So cell phone use is just 20-plus years old. But up until a few years ago, people only talked on their cell phones. Mm-hmm. Now that cell phone is literally a computer, and people are on Facebook. They watch videos. They're doing all these kind of things while driving a car. And all the research shows that distracted cell phone driving is actually more dangerous than drunk driving.
That's a pretty weighty statistic there.
It's undeniable. And they passed it in Georgia just prior to our beginning that here. They passed it in Georgia July of last year, July of 18. And so I did some research, found out the guy that did the bill was Representative John Carson from the Atlanta metro area. I contacted him. He flew to Raleigh, met with me over a couple days. We began to work on the bill. I got their original bill, started with that. Then he actually drove up to my home in Franklin and stayed with me for a few days. And, of course, I gave him a free place to stay. That's why he came. But while I had him, I said, you're going to help me with this bill a little more. So he did. And long and short of that, it went through the House with some changes. I had some opposition to it. But in the end, people came around, voted for it about 4-1. It was 90, I don't have the figures, it was 92-20 or something like that was the final vote count. So it passed pretty overwhelmingly, went to the Senate where it is currently sitting. So the Senate has not taken it up yet, but we're in hopes that they will do that early next year.
Representative Corbin, a few weeks ago, a bit of a kerfuffle at the State House. We won't get too much into that, but it involved a veto override of the governor's veto. And the sticking point on that was Medicaid expansion.
Correct.
That veto override looks like it'll probably pass in the Senate as well. But my understanding is there is a commitment from your party, who is in power in the State House, that Medicaid expansion will be considered.
Correct. That will be taken up. It's the bill is House Bill 655. It is called Carolina Cares. It is a way to draw down those dollars with a work requirement and a premium requirement from the customer, and also a requirement that the customer do things like get their primary care and their annual physical and things like that. There are a few requirements that we're putting on that.
So that is a good sign of progress there and a commitment to continue working on that. Well, thank you, Representative Corbin, for joining us today. We really appreciate you spending some precious time back here in Western North Carolina, and glad to have you continue doing great work for us at the State House.
Thank you. We enjoy your radio program, and we appreciate your listeners joining us today.
Thank you very much. On that note, we will end this episode of Ask the Mayor. I thank Mayor Taylor and Representative Corbin for joining us this morning, and we all wish you a pleasant Sunday.